Hello from Pieter Dirkhuis. If you're listening to me, then you're lucky enough to be listening to Radio Today. Don't go anywhere. Stay with Radio Today. Radio Today. Radio that delivers.
Switch on to 1485 AM. Radio Today.
And this Monday morning, we've got veggies and actors.
Yeah, we have. And have you noticed everybody's growing something these days? Everyone.
Well, yeah. Good.
The security man and I had a chat and we spoke about how our spinach was going, growing in our various gardens.
And baby carrots.
No, he's got spinach.
No, but you've got baby carrots growing.
Amongst other things, yeah.
To the surprise of our veggie lady. But we'll find out more about that. So, who's this actor and the veggie lady? Come on, tell us.
Who's the actor? Actors. Binet Abraham, who we've been trying to get on the show for a long, 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 long time. Very accomplished actress. But we'll hear all about her. I mean, we'll hear about her. I mean, she's a Seven Dolan classic. She's been there right from the beginning and she's there still. But she does a lot more than that, as we'll hear. And then we're going to chat to this veggie lady. And then we'll tell you what to do in Melville this week.
Right. You're with Marla Imond and Alistair Graham on a place called Melville. You can tune in by your cell phone, on the internet, www.1485.org.za, on your cell phone, and of course the show's podcast and available from 7 p.m. this evening. Right, you've whet our appetites, so let's go and join the actress.
Vinette. Wow, it's been a long time in the coming. Here, we've been trying to get hold of Vinette Abraham for ages, but we've got her here at the back of the cabana. Welcome to a place called Melville, Vinette.
Thank you so much. What a wonderful place for an interview.
And we had to drag you away from some 7th Street, and we didn't want any connotations with 7 Dolan.
Thank goodness for that.
But this is an epic. I mean, I don't think anybody's been on 7 Dolan for 14 years.
Well, it's been running for
15 now.
And
wow.
I've been there from day one.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know,
no. And you're not the kind of character on it that they can sort of leave out.
No, unfortunately, I am what they would call one of the pillars. We have, you know, the pillars, and then you have the dressing, all the young, beautiful people, and I am
a pillar. Yeah. And a confession pillar as well.
Yes. Everybody comes to Obi Coffee, and his shoulders are broad.
And there's Charmaine Menkes waiting to hear.
Absolutely. With bated breath.
But anyway, let's sort of veer off from there and talk about other things. Maybe, I don't know what led up to it, but the one thing that I do know is about your brother. And I'm always amazed because he, of course, too, is a great actor. And he's gone through all the Shakespearean roles. I think he must have played them all and stuff like that. And now, were you Vinny and Vinny when you were little?
No, we weren't. I'm not going to tell you. I had a nickname, but I'm not going to tell you what it was. So we were very distinct from each other. But sad to say, Vincent left the country in 1976.
Yes. Yeah.
So he's been away for a very, very long time.
Gosh, but he's been busy in England.
But he has been busy, and which has been great. And he's come back, as you know, made the Material movie, and then the Kumar's. Became quite popular, so he's well recognized.
It's a pity it's for Kumar's in a way, because he's done so much weightier stuff.
His theatre stuff has been amazing as well, and I've been very fortunate that he sent me some clips of some of the stuff that he's done. Even though I haven't been there, I've been able to see what he's been doing. And we chat often, so yes.
And you've been on the boards a lot. I mean, Ellen Pakis is probably, I think, one of South Africa's best productions. And it's such an intriguing story.
It's been an amazing journey.
Yeah.
Ellen Pucky's started in 2011.
Yeah.
It travelled, I think, to every little
hooky
and dryky in the slant.
Because it's not such a huge, I was going to say crew, but not such a huge cast.
Well, I think, apart from the fact that it's not such a huge cast, it's just such an amazing story.
Yeah.
Amazing in this respect that it touches people because of the reality of it, you know, and you know, as you probably aware that tick or meth and amphetamine is an epidemic in our country. In fact, it's all over the world. And, you know, I don't think that there's a single family in this country.
He hasn't had a brush with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, isn't that weird? You know? Yeah. You can't say that you don't know anybody, actually, at the stage.
And 202 performances of My Name is Ellen Pucky's. With every performance, we've had somebody come up to us and say, thank you for this, because it's actually just been an eye-opener. Now we know what so-and-so has been going through, you know, or, you know, I just want to tell you, this is our reality.
Mm.
You know, nobody's been murdered in our family, but it's been that kind of journey.
Yeah.
So, excuse me, it's been... an incredible,
searing story, and even in her real life. I mean, the idea of people all breaking down in court, you know, all the
magistrate,
and the
prosecutor, everybody,
all crying with her.
But I think because of the fact that, you know, it was just so. I think people feel helpless in a situation like that, and also because they realized that the state wasn't there for her. There was no support.
And you see, this. I think this is one of the big things that keeps me thinking about it too. Is there's no solution actually, even now. Even now, that story could happen every day. And in a way, it probably does. But we don't know, and nobody can really help it. Because it's fine going to the source of the problem, but where is it?
It's rife. It's rife. I mean, El Dorado Park, for instance. Yeah. Just, I think it was yesterday on the radio, there was another cry for help from El Dorado Park. They said, yes, the president came and, you know, everything was hunky-dory for about a month or so, and now they're back to square one. The drug lords are up and running right in people's faces, and nobody's doing a thing about it.
And in suburbs all over Johannesburg, doesn't matter whether they're in the north, south, east or west, there are drug lords.
Absolutely.
And those drug lords are pretty untouchable, I must say.
Well, you know what? This is something that really irks me, is the fact that the police are so aware of all of this.
Of course.
And they do absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Well, as you know, Melville even had a problem with that. Yeah,
and
about 3 years.
Absolutely. Hmm. And I'm pleased to say that I think there's been a camp down, because we know where the regular spots were.
It's
you know,
the drug lord left.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you could see it. I mean, I blatantly went to the police one day and said, I've seen this transaction happening, so do something about it. Of course, I got blank stares, and, you know, they were sort of woke up from their little slumber. And I'm sorry, I'm saying this because it's true, you know.
Exactly.
And then sort of said to me in a very sleepy voice, well, tell me exactly when. I said, follow me and I'll show you where, you know. But no, I think that the citizens of you know, the citizens need to actually just band together and to take. I'm not saying vigilante action, because that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
But really, we need to do something more about it.
And we will be doing more about it as well. I think be reminded of it more, because I believe that you're taking Ellen Pucky's into a movie. Now it's going onto the silver screen.
Absolutely. I think this was the sort of natural progression
I think so too.
Of the journey.
Oh.
We were very fortunate. And I must tell you, we actually got offers from American film companies to do the movie. Mm. But then they didn't want Christo and myself to be in it. And Christo
and
Davids,
exactly,
who plays, you know, A.B. Puckey's
son,
my son in the play. Oh. But Liz Mayring, bless her heart, and I love her for this, just said to them, you know what? It's a South African story, and this will be told in a South African way by South African cast and crew. So thank you, but no thank you. And we waited for the right time, and it's arrived. So we've got a South African cast, South African crew, and we've got two South African backers.
Yeah.
And we're very happy to say that we start filming in November.
I think you and Liz Mayring have been hatching plots up there on the hill, because I see you live very close to each other.
And we've got a formidable relationship.
Gosh, there's lots of stuff that we could carry on talking about, about your career. But I think your career is pretty well looked after. And the movie's just going to take it on.
Well, thank you so much. It's been very nice chatting to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you very much, Vanity Abraham.
Right, let's listen to a track by Dax in the Hat, Dax Butler, from his album Drinking Everything. And it's called Lift Me Up.
Times it feels like a ball of chain so heavy that need a soft hand to cool my breath. Turn my wheels around till I begin to rest my bones and lay me down. Farewell days, won't you fill my cup? A little more father, quiz the ones who left me. I'm too lazy for working and too lively to stop. My legs they be for dancing and to lift me up. Lift me up, up now. Lift me up, lift me up.
From the house doctor to the rock professor, today's groundbreakers are here on Radio Today.
We're back in the studio with Marla Immond and Alistair Graham on the show A Place Called Melville. It's a pity we had to leave that track there, but if we don't, we'd run out of time. Now, from various types of kale to broad beans to all sorts of other veggies, let's go and find out what you can plant right now.
We're with Sean Irwin, and we speak about the Millville Bamboo Market
every week.
and of course, it's one of the nicest things to do. But we've managed to drag Sean away from her stand, which is the plant stand, and seedlings and seeds, which is very interesting to most of us, especially this time of year. Now, welcome on to a place called Millville, Sean.
Thank you.
And let's find out, what do people do now, this time of year? Oh dear, somebody's just...
walking in, it's okay.
Walking in, dragging a whole lot of stuff. Yeah. And let's see, what do people actually do this time of year in their gardens now? Because this is quite an interesting time. You sort of past midwinter, just past midwinter.
So it's a great planning time of the year. I mean, this is when gardeners start getting online seed catalogues and start doing the sort of planning for summer.
Getting excited.
Right, and there's some fabulous sort of online seed merchants, or all nurseries have good seed racks, or here. It's the planning time, so you know you'd be thinking about tomatoes and chilies and peppers. Which, if you've got a warm sunny balcony, you can start planting those from about early July.
Oh, really?
Some of the trickier seedlings you might need to do under heat, because they like a long growing season. But if you want to get something into the garden right now so that you can start eating it.
Yeah. That's what we all want to do.
kale is fabulous, and there now seem to be a lot more varieties.
Aren't there? Yeah. And you've got many more than I even thought there were.
There's a very nice variety called Ragged Jack, which looks very good in a small garden, because it's quite showy. It's sort of purple with sort of ragged leaves.
Oh, yes, I've seen it.
So that's, in a small garden where you don't have flowers over winter, does well. Mizuna is fabulous and will keep growing until the sun sort of sends it to bolt. And that tastes like a mild rocket, which will work in a salad or in a...
Italians love it.
They do. Mm. Oh, okay. Mm. I only know it as an Asian vegetable, and where it gets cooked as a spinach. Mustard leaf looks brilliant at the moment, because it gets those sort of big, flashy, sort of bronze-colored leaves. And again, great for salads. You could plant broccolis and cauliflower now and get an early spring harvest.
Oh, really? Gosh.
But they won't be as handsome as they are for autumn plantings. But any of the autumn planting things can go in now with a sort of slightly shorter growing season.
Yeah.
You'll probably have to wait until the beginning of August to get beetroot in.
Okay.
But there's some fabulous beetroots around at the moment. I mean, I've seen in nurseries sort of four or five different kinds, including the Chioggia beetroot, which you might... from the Italian fishing village.
Really?
And people might have seen those at Woolworths. Somebody told me they were an extortion. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that they were an extortionate amount, sort of 45 rand for a punnet. Mm-hmm. And those are the red and white striped ones.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And those grow really easily.
Beautiful. And I suppose you can have them raw, shaved like that.
Yes. If you want to keep the stripe when you cook them, you have to bake them whole. If you boil them, then you lose the colour.
Yeah.
And like all beetroots, the baby leaves are just such a welcome addition in spring for a salad.
That's right.
Sure. So it's planning, and it's
kale. Did I see
kales
broad beans there as well?
Yes. Broad beans are the only beans you can grow in winter. All the other ones are summer ones. And you've got two planting stages, either in late autumn and let them over winter. Mm-hmm. But the traditional planting is early spring. And depending on the kind of garden you've got, you know, if you're down near a river and you have really severe frost, then I'd hold off until August. But certainly people around Melville can get them into the ground now.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, mine are about 4 inches tall.
Really?
The frost hasn't hit them.
Yeah.
And they'll, you know, give you pods in October, and I think they are possibly the nicest vegetable.
We've actually had a really nice winter, because I've been buying little things from you, as you know, and even my little carrots, which you didn't seem very hopeful about, are doing okay.
It gets quite difficult, because I know what I can grow.
I know, you know, not more than I do.
And, you know, some people have colder gardens, and you'll say it'll do fine and it'll germinate, and they come back a month later and they're really ticked off because it hasn't grown.
Some people have a green thing and some people haven't. Oh. And you haven't killed.
And also, you know, your garden microclimate's really
important. Yes, I was going
important.
To ask you about that too, because is there stuff that one should be slinging into the soil now to make anything better, make the soil better, or I don't know.
Look, and any green waste that you have from your kitchens or gardens should be going into a compost heap. That should never leave your property.
Oh, okay.
It's too valuable.
Yeah.
I like to use bone meal because it's an organic fertilizer, but vegetarians don't like to use that.
Sure. Okay, and what other little goodies are there that we could also be putting in?
Look, a good digging over with compost, handfuls of bone meal. There's some very nice pelleted organic fertilizers. I used Simungus and Bounce Back, and I like to switch the organic fertilizer that I use because each one is slightly different.
Oh, okay.
And I figure if I keep changing it, I won't get a build-up of any one particular thing.
I mean, is it okay to pick your little leaves when they're really small, like I'm doing now? I was a fad.
Well, you pick them small.
Well,
then.
Am I stunting my plants?
They need leaves to photosynthesize, but if it's a leaf vegetable, and that's why it's quite useful to have four or five plants, so you're not just mutilating one. But as long as you leave two or three leaves in the middle, that'll be fine. And then suddenly they'll just grow, and you won't be able to keep up with it.
I can't wait for that moment.
I mean, now's a good time to plant asparagus.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, gosh.
And probably about four or five plants per family. But the wisdom with asparagus is that you don't pick them for the first 3 years.
Oh, I see.
And I have never come across a gardener who's managed to do that. Because
soon
as the sort of first little matchstick shoot comes up, you grab it, it tastes like an asparagus.
How tempting.
Plants are a lot more robust than people think they are.
Yes.
And they can put up with a fair amount of abuse.
Put up with humans a bit.
they also grow fairly slowly over winter, so you won't be able to pick as much. But as long as you don't damage the growing tip, you can actually do what you like.
Yeah. And I also saw some tea tomatoes. I mean, is that really possible? I mean, those lovely sort of, what do they taste like? They taste almost guavery sort of tomatoes, yeah.
I don't have a greenhouse, so these are living outside, but they're up against the side of the house.
God, the plants on your stand look quite big already.
And they're all grown outdoors, so anybody, they haven't had the kind of pampering that nurseries get, so they tend to...
That's a good selling point.
They tend to like really take off in a garden, whereas quite often nursery ones are getting foliar feed every 2 days.
Okay. Gosh, well, I'm pleased I spoke to you. And I'm certainly think that listeners will find this most invaluable. Thank you so much, Sean, for coming on to A Place Called Novel. And your stand is at the Bamboo Center.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, that was very informative to find out what you can grow now. Let's go and listen to another track by Dax Butler, also from his album Drinking Everything. And this is titled Dark Over There.
Cupboards often empty, the news is always filled. All kinds of disaster, people getting killed. Robbery and murder after dinner every day. Typhoon and swine flu, gas masks on the way. You know it's hard to walk right when you're wearing a ball chain. I always tell myself I'm not coming back again. A lot of people saying the end of days is near. Might be the Rainbow Nation, baby, but it's got ducks are on the dam wall, predators nearby, patiently waiting for the chance to try and seize one by the throat, bring on judgment day. Typhoon and swine flu gas my son away. You know it's hard to walk right when you're wearing a ball and chain. I always tell myself I'm not coming back again. A lot of people saying the end of days is near. Might be Rainbow Nation, baby, but it's dark. Traffic's almost moving, the clock it makes no sound. Preacher on the radio says lay your burden down, but keep your window wound up, whatever come what may. Typhoon and swine flu gas my son away. You know it's hard to walk right when you're wearing a ball and chain. I always tell myself I'm not coming.
This is Radio Today, broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio Channel 869.
And that's where we are, the place called Melville, Alistair Graham and Murray Learmonth. Alistair, Bamboo Farmers Market.
Of course, every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I was there through on Saturday, and it was nice.
With Sean Owen, who's the kitchen gardener, because her stall is one of the big stalls there.
And I got some duck pies.
You got duck pies? Mm.
What
I got broad beans.
And carrots.
To plant.
And on the copies, the favorite once a month one. This is the 3-hour hike, Melville Copies Central, guided stop. And this is where you learn all about everything on the copies. Well worth going
there. A guided
there.
Stop.
Sorry?
A guided stop.
That's right. Guided stops. You park opposite the entrance at Marks Park Sports Club and Judith Avenue, Judith Road, Emerentia. Adults, 50 Rand, and children, 20 Rand. No dogs on this one. The Lighthouse, very popular. And I like the idea that they get all their food from Sugar Bush Valley Farmers.
Oh, you've been doing some research.
And it's great. But Monday night's comedy night, documentary screening and talks on Tuesday night, open mic poetry on Wednesday nights, Thursday night's artist night.
That's right, and I think that includes musicians too, as we've discovered. At Love Books this week on Wednesday, we've got an interesting lady, Melani Favut. Now, she really is the daughter-in-law of the Favut. And she was married to, she was an ANC MP. She was married to an ANC guy too. Favut's son wasn't in the same camp as his dad or uncle or whatever. And Tafelberg and Love Books invite us to the launch of Melani's next book. I mean, I think she wrote a book about the Favut that could toy toy. And this one's called Armadiba. And she'll be chatting to John Carlin. Now, she's got quite a lot in common with John Carlin. He's a British author, and Melani lives in Ireland. And he's written about Nelson Mandela books. And I guess she's just done that too. So do RSVP. I think it's going to be quite crowded. So come early. It's K-A-T-E to book at lovebooks.co.za. And I think you're going to enjoy it. We also want to tell you our latest about our great sportsman of Melville, Lucas Sotone. Yeah, now you know, he won the Open can't remember which Open single it was now, one of the big world ones, but anyway. And now he's at the French Open, and now he's up against David Wagner, who's the one guy that he has beaten in the past, but who has beaten him more than he's beaten David Wagner.
Big rivalry there.
Huge rivalry, because Lucas Atolo is seated second in the world, and David Wagner is first in the world in tennis. So we're holding huge thumbs to see what's going to happen, because this is the semi-finals for both of them now before they play each other, indubitably.
Again. Morale, we're coming up to the 150th show.
Yes. And we're going to say cheers quite soon to Melville. And, yeah, I'll give it a break for a while, take a sabbatical.
That's right. But we've still got a few in the pipeline, including William Gall coming up.
I know. We can't slip off without having William Gall.
But until then, you may contact us on 072-305-0281. Don't forget the show's podcast and available from 7 p.m. this evening. And until the next show, next week, bye from us.
And bye to our favorite engineer, Mr. Kulu.